Hello and welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Liz Loza, Matt Harmon's here, and Matthew. You having yourself a day.
Yes.
Well, lifelong San Francisco 49ers fan since Thursday when your other team disappointed you, so you flip-flopped.
Well, officially since, was it March 2019, I became a lifelong 49ers fan. Officially. I did say on this very podcast that there would be a time when I would go back to the Panthers and they would inevitably let me down. I thought it might come around November. I didn't think it happened in week two.
Yeah. I mean, I believe the exact quote was, I like the 49ers, but I love the Panthers. And when you have a connection like that.
It never really goes away, right? But you also have to remember, your ex, they don't change. They say they've changed, but oftentimes there's a reason you left.
But do you change?
I mean, you would hope for some personal growth. And so maybe in 2020...
So the thought is, has Jimmy G changed then?
Yeah, well, I don't know if Jimmy G's changed, but...
Maybe Cam's changed.
Yeah, I think Cam has continued to let himself go, you know? Maybe a few midnight trips to cookout. maybe a few trips to the old Waffle House. It's hard to say. But no, on the 49ers note, obviously they're 2-0 now. Jimmy G was kind of like a passenger riding the bus in week one. You know, he wasn't really the reason that they won. Really, the reason they won was their defense, which still showed up today, too. Nick Bosa so far proving to be worth the investment, despite, you know, he's like the Hollywood Brown of defense, right? Like, doesn't practice much in the offseason, comes in with an injury, and he's still playing really, really well. But today was about the offense. And look, was Jimmy G like this dynamic elite quarterback today? No, but what he was he's a functional part of the system. And what this offense is all about is about hitting receivers with space to run, timing precision routes. And we saw that, you know, Debo Samuel gets almost all of his yards after the catch, where he mustered, getting most of his yards after the catch too.
Sure.
So I think Jimmy G executed his assignment against a really bad defense, and that this puts him back on like the streaming radar, I think.
Sure, he has the Pittsburgh Steelers next week. My question for the defense is, they haven't had a real test, and you have been on this Steelers looking very pedestrian bit for a while. They'll be on the road in San Francisco, right? So I don't know if the defense is going to get the challenge yet that will at least prove the haters wrong.
No, I mean, it's just nice to see them at least like proving competent, because like last year they were historically bad, especially at getting turnovers. So either way, this has been a nice step forward for them. But you're right. I mean, Mason Rudolph is not going to be a big test. And even going forward, I mean, they're in LA week six after getting the Browns in week five, coming off their week four bye. So those will be some tests for the 49ers defense if they're a legitimate unit.
So Garoppolo is owned in under 50% of leagues. I'm going to ask you,
okay,
would you replace Cam Newton in your lineup with Jimmy Garoppolo? And I will say, because I have a little bit of a different Cam take than you do, I don't think he's healthy. And I partially don't think he's healthy because in the press conference after Thursday night's game, there was so much "he is healthy" table pounding that what is that Shakespearean quote that just
doth protest too much?
Yeah. Yes. Which makes me think he's not healthy, but that was a short week. And now he has 10 days to recover.
Yeah. I mean, let's be clear. Cam Newton, I think I've obviously followed his career through the entirety of it in the NFL.
That you've, yeah. And he's at Arizona.
That's the
next
thing.
Week.
That was the worst I've seen him played. Bar none. I think that's the worst game I've ever seen from Cam Newton. And there have been some clunkers. People were quick to reply with, like, what about in the Super Bowl? Like, give me a break. That was way worse than that. I know that he didn't fall on the fumble in the Super Bowl,
Like, the design run in the last moment, the lack of a design run in the last moments of the game are what is telling to me about him not being 100% healthy.
Sure. I think that was almost like his Jacoby Brissett throws the Hail Mary campaign moment for Andrew Luck in the 2018 campaign. Now, obviously, Andrew Luck goes on and has a great season in 2018 despite that moment, because that was like a big, and I think it was like week two, right? Like, mm-hmm. it was a big freak out moment for people. Maybe, oh man, real telling for Cam Newton not to get that goal line carry. And then maybe he goes on, has a great campaign the rest of the way. You're right. Gets the matchup in Arizona next week. I think you got to kind of sit Cam right now. I wouldn't drop him.
Wow.
But I think I'm not playing him, even in a great matchup, depending on what your other
options
are.
Patrick Peterson's still not back.
Right. Patrick Peterson's still not back, and Lamar Jackson had a great passing game. I mean, Lamar Jackson is a great player right now, but he had a great passing performance against this Cardinals defense. We know what happened to them in week one. Just going down the list, I would probably play Josh Allen ahead of Cam Newton next week. I would probably play, like, I'm not going to play Kirk Cousins ahead of Cam Newton next week or something like that. But that's kind of the level that you're working with. Like, if you have a priority streamer, I'd probably throw them in over Cam, but I don't know that I'm going to, you know, just absolutely got to get him out of my lineup. But the number one thing is I'm not ready to drop Cam Newton because
I'm
in hold position. Yeah. And because everything else, like, this is the real pain in the ass part
just
of it.
Keeping him along for the ride just a little bit.
Yeah. This is the pain in the ass part of it is that everything else is kind of going right around Cam Newton mm-hmm. in terms of the skill position. Like, Curtis Samuel should have had like 170 yards in that game. DJ Moore was cooking on some short routes. Damn, Greg Olsen is showing up.
Over 100 on a short week with a back injury.
The one thing I will say, I'm hoping that they get Greg Little, the left tackle, rookie left tackle out of Ole Miss back from a concussion that he suffered in the preseason. It's concerning that he's still out right now, but Daryl Williams got whooped
crushed
by like Shaquille Barrett. You know, it's fine. Daryl Williams should not be a left tackle. He shouldn't be out there protecting the blind side, but this is where we're at with Carolina. And there were just some moments when, you know, Cam, like, you can't excuse Cam's performance because he missed so awfully so many times, but there were several moments too where he also had no chance with that offensive line.
I'm really, so another player that did disappoint in the Thursday night game that we should talk about because there could be a potential replacement that showed up on Sunday was O.J. Howard. O.J. Howard had a bagel, a donut, a goose egg, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, believe me, I've got that bagel staring at me right in the face.
Yeah, and Cameron Brate had two touchdowns called back in week one. O.J. Howard didn't do a whole lot in the opener either.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Bruce Arians notorious for not using tight ends as receiving weapons. He likes to use them to block. But you would think when you look at O.J. Howard's athletic profile, surely he's never had. He's got that Stefan Howling, whatever that trifinet.
What?
The tight end that Arians had, Stephen Rowling Howling.
Are you talking about LaRod Stevens Howling, the little scat back?
I know. Who's the tight end that he had that he did not use?
Oh, Leonard Pope? I don't.
Well, anyway, the
Heath
point is,
Miller?
We can't even remember a tight end that Arians had with an athletic profile like O.J. Howard's.
No.
So you would think, okay, so there's an adjustment here. Except, you know, when someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time, the second time, the third time, and also check out O.J. Howard's stats. Dude is blocking much more than he is being used as a receiving weapon. But you know who is being used in the passing game? Oh, Will Disley in mm-hmm. Seattle. I thought he would show up big in week one, but he left the game with some knee soreness. Now, it should be remembered that he started his rookie season last year with back-to-back touchdowns.
Yeah.
Had a patellar tear, was out for the rest of the season. I was like, oh, no, he's hurt his knee again. That's no good.
Yeah.
Like, but 5 grabs, 5 targets, 50 yards, 2 tubs.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's owned in 3% of Yahoo leagues. I like it.
Yeah, and this is an offense where, you know, we're interested in the ancillary pieces. I mean, we probably weren't interested in the ancillary pieces when it's like, is this going to be Jerron Brown or whatever? Mm-hmm. But
on
I mean,
again, off again.
Will Disley's very much in the picture and gets a matchup next week against the Saints. Like, mm-hmm. maybe.
And then Arizona.
Which is great. And yeah. I mean, maybe that Saints game, we'll talk about it later with Drew Brees. I would expect him not to play in this game. Like, maybe that ceiling is a little bit shaved off, but nevertheless, it's in Seattle. That should still be a relatively high-scoring game. I think Disley has a shot at maybe getting into the end zone again. And, I mean, it's just great to see some of these ancillary pieces emerging for the Seattle Seahawks because they continue to show us that when they need to go to the air, they can get it done. And, I mean, obviously, Tyler Lockett bounces. Like, all the volume concerns from week one are negated. He goes for a career-high 10 catches today. And DK Metcalf
still showing up.
Continues to be a thing. I mean, he catches a touchdown today after going for 89 yards in week one. for all the bad DK Metcalf takes out there, that looks like a steal of a pick at the end of the second round.
I also think Disley is interesting because if you didn't get Mark Andrews or you didn't get Darren Waller, you need something, and he is an available option. Find a tight end that isn't touchdown dependent.
Sure.
You know? Let's talk about the Steelers, though, because I know you have had some hot takes. Want to mention, of course, that James Conner left this game against the Steelers with a knee injury. We'll know more, right?
The obviously big news is that old Ben Roethlisberger leaves with an injury. I know this is shocking. Elbow injury.
Oh, gosh. That was so long ago to me that I forgot to even mention that part.
By the way, some Steelers players were apparently saying that they noticed that Roethlisberger was struggling with this injury, like a little bit of inflammation in practice, and that it could have just been aggravated during the game, which is like one of those things like that would have been nice to know, you know, heading into this game. But whatever. We'll move on. But even before Roethlisberger was out, this looked like an ordinary offense. Like, you could write it off in week one, right? The Patriots, they have the Steelers' number. They always get the better of them. It doesn't matter. Hey, this is the time they're going back to Heinz Field. The Seahawks defense, remember all those yards that Trey Flowers gave up? Remember when that was the thing that we were talking about? Oh, by the way, Ben Roethlisberger goes for like 5 yards per attempt, under 55 completion percentage. This whole offense looks ordinary. They have no star power. Dante Moncrief is still up there just sucking up air, doing absolutely nothing.
I did tweet, I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life, but the worst of them was expecting Dante Moncrief would be able to make a play.
Hey, I feel you. I feel you. And, I mean, so far, Juju Smith-Schuster has looked like he's not a difference maker in this offense yet.
And we anticipated that. I think you and I talked about this has not been his job, and a new job or a promotion takes a little bit of time before you can master it. Vance McDonald finally had a nice bounce back though in this one. I mean,
nice little tight end screen for a touchdown there.
Yardage is gross, right? The yardage is like he's averaging like 5 or 6 yards per reception, but he is efficient again, catching all 7 of his looks. And I know I've hammered this, but I just feel like it deserves to be said again. He was used as a slot receiver in college. And so it makes sense then that they would lean on someone who's not particularly inspiring, but at least can move the chains.
It's just tough right now. I mean, there's nothing going on here with this offense. And like I said, I don't know what we expect to change, especially if Roethlisberger is going to miss multiple weeks. And if this is a multi-week injury, which there's some speculation
that it could
be.
I don't think he's going to see the field in week 3. The game is away, so I wouldn't even like him to play. If the game was at home, I'd imagine that he'd do some hero nonsense and, you know.
His typical thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I think you just have to adjust regardless of what happens here. You know, Mason Rudolph looked okay. Like, there was at least, honestly, I don't even know that you can really say Mason Rudolph looked all that good from a stats perspective. He didn't, the real situation was that Seattle was trying to give that game away at the end. You know, well, Chris Carson had a couple of key fumbles late. And all in all, I think that this effort, the final score makes the game look much closer than it really was.
What do you think about Rashad Penny? Because so he is creeping, right? He's the higher draft capital. This was a guy that people drafted later. I was on the Rashad Penny train for a long time until the reports out of the preseason indicated that he was falling well behind Chris Carson. I still, though, I know Chris Carson had the fumble and there's talk of like whether or not he was being punished, so Penny got in there. To me, this is shaping up to be a very hot hand backfield.
Yeah, which I think we should expect. I mean,
but nobody did.
Nobody did. And I mean, I think it was right to like, hey, Chris Carson had the clear commanding lead.
It was his job to lose.
It was his job to lose. And the problem is right now he's kind of trying to lose it. You know, he fumbles and then one.
But don't you think it's going to be forgiven by next week?
Maybe.
I don't think there's going to be any sort of Petey Sunshine spanking going on. There's no discipline here. There's no stand in the corner. You get a cold supper nonsense.
They should be favorites over the Saints coming into Seattle in week three, you know, with Teddy Bridgewater likely under center. So that would be a very run heavy game script, much like we expected from week one, where Chris Carson, you know, did show out. And so far, I mean, man, Russell Wilson had an incredible like day efficiency wise. And it's just like, please just keep running the offense through Russ. Don't suffer us through this Penny Chris Carson decision. Mm. Just let Russ cook, you know?
Do you know, who's cooking?
Tell me.
Patrick Mahomes.
Well, I mean,
here's an alert. Ready? Headline. The Chiefs are good.
The Chiefs are good.
Patrick Mahomes, over 440 yards, 4 touchdowns. It's bananas.
Well, He did lose a fumble, so.
I mean.
There's that regression hitting. Yeah, I mean.
DeMarcus Robinson had over 170 yards and two tubs. Like, and you know what, Matt? Like, I am feeling so generous towards you today. Take another victory lap, because Sammy Watkins didn't do squat, and you called it. You were like, I don't know, this guy's not consistent. I'm not buying it.
And, you know, to be fair to one Sammy Watkins, some of the targets that were, I mean, he had 13 targets, 6 for 49 on those 13 targets. Some of them were, you know, some misses by Patrick Mahomes, but like, you can nitpick that all you want. But the point here is that, like, this is not a guy that you just, no question, throw into your fantasy lineup every week, because this is not a guy that you, no question, for the Chiefs offense, run it through every week. I mean, Tyreek Hill is that player. Sammy Watkins is not that player. We have like a multi-year sample of Sammy Watkins doing exactly what we just saw, which is goes out 1 week, completely balls out, looks like a legitimate difference maker. And then in the week after, you know, as everyone else eats, he kind of falls to the wayside. I mean, 13 targets is volume to bank on. Like, you know, trust the process. The process was good to play Sammy Watkins. I'm not saying that he's not a guy that you play every single week. You probably do, but you at least have that conversation. You don't go out and say he's a wide receiver one now because Tyreek Hill is out, because he's just not that type of player.
I think in terms of the receiving options, the one that you can most consistently rely on, and this isn't a headline either, is Travis Kelce, yeah. Right? I had him projected 8 for 104 in a touch. He went 7, 107 in a touch. He's going to get you either and or over 100 yards or a touchdown every damn week.
Yeah, and Mahomes is just in fuego right now. I mean, he is in that, you know, Peyton Manning circa 2013 range of his career, 2014, 2013, where just like all ships are going to rise with this tide. Like, cool. You got to throw DeMarcus Robinson out there. He's going to ball. Mecole Hardman, he catches four passes for 61 yards and a touchdown. Like, who's going to be out there? Those players are going to eat. Like, for the most part, you want all these guys on your roster, and you want to think about breaking ties in favor of putting Chiefs players in your lineup, because that's just where we're at with this team. And like, also, I don't want to totally take, you know, Oakland's defense to task, because I know that will be the temptation. Like, hey, look, they destroyed Oakland, whatever, not a big deal. But like, I will say, every time I watch Oakland's defense, you know, they lost Jonathan Abram, kind of their energy in the secondary, but this was still a defense I was like, okay, yeah, they don't have a lot of pass rush, but they do fly to the ball. They're playing hard out there, you know, so I want to give them some credit for that.
Well, they're coming off a shorter week too, and a little bit of an adrenaline bottoming out, you know, but I am looking forward to week 3's matchup between Mahomes and Lamar Jackson.
Yes, that should be a lot of fireworks. And I mean, like right now, Lamar Jackson, you know, it's super early, but I mean, he is on that pace right now. He goes over 100 yards rushing. He goes over 270 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he's on that pace right now to be, you know, an every week quarterback start. I don't think you're asking questions about, do I play Lamar Jackson or this guy? Unless you've got like, you're an idiot and you've got like Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes on the same team.
The defense is more of a test for Patrick Mahomes. Kyler Murray did rack up over 340 yards, but he didn't have a touchdown. He was sacked 3 times. He didn't get much of that work in the run game like people had been anticipating heading into the season. So I think even with a battered and bruised secondary, the Baltimore Ravens are going to be quite a test. But I am super excited because Lamar Jackson, you were saying it when we were watching the games, pocket passer Lamar Jackson. I mean, there's going to be some ping ponging in this one.
Yeah, like, give me a break if you don't, like, no one should ever utter the words Lamar can't throw again after that beauty of a pass to Hollywood Brown towards the close of that game. Like, I don't care who's covering him, because you can be like, oh, Cardinal secondary, but like, I don't care if damn Deion Sanders or prime Darrell Revis is covering Hollywood Brown
or
that play.
Darrell Revis, that's the other one,
whatever. I don't care who's covering him. You put that ball on that outside shoulder there where only Marquise Brown, you know, not like a massive target or anything, can go and get it. That's elite passing, okay? Like, that's a guy who has taken that leap. And yeah, Lamar had some misses today. Every quarterback has misses. Not every quarterback hits that throw, period.
Chiefs backfield. Yes, moving back to Kansas City real quick. Damian Williams, we said on FFL heading into the day, was interesting because he had more work in the passing game. That remained true over Shady McCoy.
Yep.
However, he left the contest with a knee injury. Now, again, we don't know the severity of the issue, but LeSean McCoy did get more touches in the running game. He had more carries, 11 to Damian Williams, 9. Was, again, more efficient on the ground than Damian Williams. We know LeSean McCoy can catch the ball. There's a giant data sample available that tells us this. LeSean McCoy, if Damian Williams sits, is a top
guy I want to have his backup. I think it's time to put Darwin RB2? Thompson on your bench.
Would you rank, if you had to?
Luckily, I don't.
LeSean McCoy, very quickly. Like, we haven't looked at any. Right. This is, we're just ingesting and digesting.
Sure, they're playing the Ravens next week, so right. Tough matchup.
So inside or outside of your top 18?
Probably inside, I mean, just for the offense's sake. But again, I think I'm more intrigued about Darwin Thompson right now because McCoy, I mean, the entire Chiefs running game actually didn't look that good today, right? Like 9 for 8 for Damian Williams. For you math folks out there, that's less than a yard per carry. And then McCoy, 11 for 23. Like, that's what I'm saying. The Raiders defense flew to the ball. They played pretty well against the run.
Ball Hawks.
Yeah.
I think
run and chase linebackers, you know, that whole thing. But Darwin Thompson, again, to me, I think still has that potential if he's the last man standing in this backfield. Like, think back to Alvin Kamara's rookie year when in, you know, that season, you've got Mark Ingram, you've got Adrian Peterson, and then Kamara's like a round 13 pick. You know, Darwin Thompson became a guy that people kind of shied away from after LeSean McCoy got there. Mm-hmm. And McCoy, to me, just didn't. I mean, he looked fine in week one. He looked like the more elusive back to Damian Williams, but being the more elusive back to Damian Williams isn't exactly like, that's not a trophy you definitely want to have. Thompson, to me, still feels like the guy that might be the best lottery ticket in this.
But he's still a hold. McCoy's going to get the opportunity first.
You're playing McCoy next week, but I think that my bigger take here is that, yeah, if you have room right now, put Darwin Thompson on the end of your bench in case, you know, next week we're talking about a McCoy injury and then Thompson is the next man up. And again,
Be proactive.
And I think this is the time to do that because we're talking about DeMarcus Robinson. We're talking about Mecole Hardman. We're just talking about anybody that's in this Chiefs offense.
Darwin Thompson, by the way, available in over 80% of Yahoo League. So
he was like a week one drop, for sure.
100%. All right, so the Chiefs are good. Drew Brees has a hand injury. Let's talk about what this offense looks without him.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we talked a little bit about this on the live. I don't think it changes that much. I do think that, you know, Alvin Kamara is going to see more stack boxes and defenses are going to test Teddy Bridgewater and make him throw the ball, but he does have the most efficient damn receiver in the league catching it. He's got Jared Cook. We saw him come to life after Teddy Bridgewater came under center in replacement of Drew Brees, a nice security blanket coming off of a career year. He should see some volume. The question is, do you think Alvin Kamara can put this game and its underwhelming stat line behind him and beast next week? When I look at the talent, I'm not that worried about it.
Yeah, I'm not that worried about
it. It's a test.
It's a test. And I think the good thing is, we talked about this in the live hit, like, we know where the ball's going in this Saints offense, which is nice. I mean, Tre'Quan Smith, admittedly, showed up.
He left injured, too.
Left injured, but did show up a little bit today. But at the same time, like, it's Michael Thomas, it's Alvin Kamara, and Jared Cook gets 2 catches on 7 targets. So, like, he's the third option here. But to Teddy Bridgewater's credit, because I'm sitting there, like, in the fourth quarter, getting into the fourth quarter, I'm like, man, Teddy looks like just another guy. He looks like any other backup quarterback, not like a former first-round pick that we were all excited about a few years ago. But to his credit, he started heating up eventually. Thomas ends up catching 10 passes on 13 targets. You know, he started to find his guys, whatever, like, I think that you can't argue that the ceiling comes down for guys like Thomas and Kamara, but I think they'll be okay.
But that going you draft forward. These guys because of their floors.
Right. Well, Kamara, I was all in
number
on 1.1
overall
because
sure.
of the ceiling. And now I'm not so sure that ceiling exists. I hope Bridgewater shows more next week, you know, in
He's
Seattle.
He's been working behind Drew Brees for more than a minute. right? He passed on becoming, and this seems like a good decision in hindsight, but anything is 2020 yeah. in hindsight, to be the Dolphins starting quarterback. He could have been a starting quarterback, which you have to, and he's, you know, got ties to Miami, would be quite a boost to one's ego. He passed on that. He passed on the money so that he could continue to learn behind Drew Brees and eventually be handed the keys to this kingdom. So I am not as pessimistic as you are, I suppose.
No, yeah, you seemed like a little more optimistic. And I just hope we see Drew Brees sooner than later, but it doesn't seem like that's going to be... It seems like he's going to be out for a little bit. We don't know as of taping time.
Sure. I mean, he's seeing a doctor in Los Angeles today and fears that it is a serious hand injury.
Puke.
Do you want to talk about Chris Godwin? Because he is the... I know we're kind of all over the place here, but he is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers receiver that has been the most consistent and the most productive.
Been their best player on offense by far. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that you wanted to see out of Chris Godwin, you have seen, right? Like, he catches a touchdown in week one. He was the absolute engine of that offense. 8 catches on 9 targets, over 120 yards, a touchdown again in week two. And, I mean, he was pretty much unguardable against Carolina. I mean, every time they had a really productive play, it went to Chris Godwin. And I think he's a wide receiver one going forward.
Do you know who he has next week?
Remind me off the top of my head.
The Giants.
Oh, well, that should
Do
be.
Do you need a moment?
I need a moment, yes. I mean, the only thing you have to worry about is that the, I don't know, the Giants are so bad.
You don't need to be worried about anything.
I was going to say they run out to too big of a lead, and then it's just Peyton Barber.
Well, this is the point that I want to make because, okay. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers backfield pains me terribly. It is so up and down. I love myself some Rojo. Moments before Thursday night's kickoff, Ian Rappaport tweets that Rojo's...
I was going to say, did you get the rug pulled out from you a little bit here?
I mean... Here's the thing. I have 0 Rojo shares because I had a bunch last year. So even though I hyped him, I was like, you know what? You just, if you love him too much, you don't want to put that pressure on your relationship. Mm-hmm. And so I said, no, thanks. Like, I'm not interested. I have a lot of Chris Godwin. I'd rather take one piece of this offense and that's the piece that I'm going to invest in. Peyton Barber creates a safety. Like, that happens. Yep. And yet Bruce Arians continues to stick with him. Will not move away from him. Like it or not, this is the guy. Feels very much like CJ2K of years past.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the Giants matchup next week is so damn sweet. I don't know. He's 47% owned in Yahoo leagues. If I am plugging and playing or looking at DFS pricing, and I have to imagine he's going to be low, I am projecting ahead to think that Peyton Barber might be one of these good dart throw running backs.
Yeah, I felt coming out of that game, I was like, Bruce Arians, did you really come back for this? Like, to have Peyton Barber be like the engine of your
to
offense?
To use O.J. Howard as a blocking
to use O.J. Oh my God, to make no use of O.J. Howard. I mean, the only thing that Chris Godwin has come, I mean, has the only thing that Bruce Arians has come back for is to make the Chris Godwin breakout campaign happen. But did we need you for that, Bruce Arians?
I think it was going to happen on his own.
It was going to happen no matter what. I mean, this, it's just the thing, the defense looks better. So credit to Todd Bowles there because, like, again,
when Vernon Hargraves saves your win, gets you the win, I mean, there's applause.
Yeah, I watched the end of that game on my phone on the Yahoo Sports app. Check it out. You can stream games there. I was watching it just as soon as that happened. I was like, oh, my God, just click. Just put the phone in the glove compartment. Don't need that.
Well, I see the vein in your forehead starting to pulse, so I want to give you some good news, something that will make you feel nice. And, okay. Euphoric, even. Let's talk about
that.
The Dallas Cowboys offense. And let's talk about one Devin Smith. I can smell the pheromones coming off of him. That was the most disgusting, obvious thing ever.
Liz, I waited 4 years for
gross.
That touchdown.
You literally smell different.
I waited
super gross.
4 years for that touchdown, okay? Look, I would have taken just the training camp highlight videos for Devin Smith. That was enough. But to then have him go out and drop a massive touchdown over Josh Norman and the trash can Washington defense. I can remember.
He's snapping.
I can remember being in my apartment in Fairfax, Virginia in 2015, charting Devin Smith routes from Ohio State, thinking this guy is the next big thing. He goes out and punctures his lung in training camp for the Jets.
Oh,
then when
my
he
God.
Finally comes back, tears his ACL, tears it again, wastes away.
Was drafted by the Jets.
Drafted by the Jets.
Yeah.
In the second round.
You forgot about him. Everyone forgot him. Not you. You clearly did not forget about him.
I forgot about
All
him.
All right.
I'm telling you, when I saw like a training camp highlight hit from Devin Smith from the Cowboys, I was like, Devin Smith is on the Cowboys? Devin Smith is still in the NFL? When the Jets waived injured him or whatever off IR, I was like, well, that's it. Like, that dream is dead. At least I can chalk that. Like, that's a draft miss. I can easily be like, listen, he was hurt.
But you're not relying on him week to week. Even in week three when the Cowboys will face, wait for it, the Miami Dolphins.
Right. I mean, if Devin Smith goes and dunks on the Dolphins defense, I won't be surprised. But here's what I think Devin Smith does for me. And does for the Cowboys more. I mean, does a lot for me. But what he does for the Cowboys, I think, is it's just gives this offense just an embarrassment of riches. Like, think back to a calendar year ago, what we're talking about, the Dallas Cowboys. One of the most boring, uncreative offensive systems, predictable in the entire league. Then also, by the way, they are completely bereft of any intriguing talent in the pass catching position. Now we have Amari Cooper scoring 2 touchdowns in the first 2 weeks. We got Michael Gallup catching almost 87% of his targets.
Got Jason Witten scoring.
Damn, Jason Witten!
Both in back to back weeks.
I mean, Jason Witten and Randall Cobb look like they've at least turned the clock
but
back a year and a half.
It's problematic for fantasy purposes
because
what Kellen Moore has done, as exciting as he has been in terms of opening and lifting the Cowboys offense and adding more production to Dak and what Dak is able to do, he is spreading the ball around. That's great IRL, right? But for fantasy purposes, I mean, we all thought that Michael Gallup was going to have another 100-plus yard game against the Redskins here, right? And
that's a solid
he did
game.
Fine,
yeah,
right?
Solid
8
game.
Of 6, but he wasn't like, I think we were salivating
sure.
for the Michael Gallup breakout in week 2. He may still break out. I'm not saying it's not going to be an awesome year, but when you have Devin Smith available and you've got Randall Cobb looking completely reborn, now it's harder to chart.
Right. Well, it comes back to one place. That's Dak Prescott.
Well, like, I already said that.
You're right, but I'm saying if you drafted Dak Prescott, you're feeling great right now. You might have a top 5 fantasy
Remember
quarterback.
Remember Wednesday
on
when
your
people
hand.
Were asking you Cam Newton or Dak Prescott? I got a lot of those questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a lot of those questions. Got a lot of like Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I don't think you're sitting Dak Prescott again.
269 through the air and 69 rushing. He's now your favorite player.
Extra nice effort by Dak Prescott. Bring it on home.
So stinking gross.
I mean, ugh. This Cowboys offense, like, it makes it move. I mean, damn it. This is one of the most exciting teams to watch in the NFL. And I hate the Cowboys. I find them
grew
to
up
be
in the Delmarva area. So right. You've got some of that residual, even if you're not a Washington fan, I have to right. mention that residual hatred for the
yes.
boys.
It's one of those things like, hey, like both things can be true here. I can hate Washington and I can hate Dallas. I find Dallas to be an obnoxious franchise, but damn it, this offense is it's doing it for me. This is great.
You know, Devin Singletary was doing it for me. The Buffalo Bills rookie running back Devin Singletary was
yes.
doing it for me heading into this week. And man, he was doing it for me for a lot of this game. He looked great, but he also left with an injury. And now Frank Gore is doing it for Buffalo. And for you, a surprising amount. 19 damn carries, 68 yards. And a touchdown on the ground. I love that Matt in a live hit said, like, volume, who cares about volume? Some people don't need volume. And then the next moment was, you know who's got a lot of carries? Frank Gore. We should pick him up.
Well, I said some people don't need volume. Frank Gore certainly needs volume. Frank Gore's like ancient. I mean, at this point, he's he's ancient for an NFL running back, Liz. He's not ancient, period.
I think he's the same age as Richie Incognito.
Right. Well, he's ancient for it. Well, listen. Okay. No. Like, excuse me. Richie Incognito is old for an NFL offensive lineman. Frank Gore is ancient for an NFL running back. That doesn't mean that all people that are that age are old and or ancient.
Nice distinction. Frank Gore, widely available.
Widely 7% owned, I think.
Something like that would make him over 90% available. So we have to keep an eye on the Devin Singletary news. But obviously, if he were to miss time, this backfield then belongs to Frank Gore. And when you've got a quarterback who rushes the way that Josh Allen does, then there are lanes available for old man Gore to, you know, get his 3.5 YPC and make things happen.
I mean, Josh Allen, like a beautiful nightmare at this point behind center. Like, he's just, I love watching Josh Allen play football. Didn't think I'd be saying that, but that hair on fire. He plays.
It's one of the smartest things you've ever said. And, you know, I'm here to make you look good. So let's say there are more things that you, what are you doing that?
Okay. Sure.
But it is one of the smartest things. Like, saying that Josh Allen plays with his hair on fire is one of the most astute things you have ever said.
Well, I think it's said on last week's podcast that, like, he looks like he, like, 2 seconds into the play, is like, oh, I'm playing NFL quarterback. Like, I got to do something with the ball. And then just takes off and runs. But it makes it work sometimes. But overall, I think this offense actually, I think ceiling-wise, is higher with Josh Allen playing as well as he is right now. And, oh, by the way, here's the deal. They get the Bengals next week in Buffalo. The Bengals are terrible. Mm-hmm. The Bengals got demolished by
Chris
Matt
Carson
Breida,
in week one.
Raheem Mostert in
Jeff
week
Wilson.
Two. Jeff Wilson. I mean, give me a break. Frank Gore can do that.
I think the Jacksonville Jaguars receiving core can do a lot of things that they aren't being given credit for doing either.
So give them credit, Liz. This is like your pet. Not even just your pet team, your pet like unit. Like, you need to be in the wide receiver room with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Here's the thing, like, Jacksonville as a city,
you love a good underdog.
Trash. Never need to go to Jacksonville. Like, honestly, I could go to Miami. That's fine. But, like,
I don't
really.
You're going to have to, I think.
Oh, yeah, for work. Yeah. The Super Bowl's there. Yeah. But
no, fingers crossed. You never know.
Jacksonville, although Robin Kay, I love you. I know you listen. You live in Jacksonville. Hope Steve and the kids are fine. Anyway, I am in love, and I said this on last week's podcast, with defying expectations, doing something different, being unafraid. And I said this on the live hit. John DeFilippo doesn't not go for two, and Doug Marrone doesn't not give the damn ball to Leonard Fournette.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of a conflict here, but don't tell me that DJ Chark hasn't looked good in back-to-back weeks. Don't tell me that Chris Connolly hasn't get fed in back-to-back weeks. Don't tell me that, and like this Minshew fever, like everyone's hyping the Minshew because he's like a great meme. I don't care about the quarterback nearly as much as I care about the scheming for these receivers.
Sure.
And not just keeping the ball on the ground and feeding Leonard Fournette all the damn time.
D.D. Westbrook, by the way, like, what about me?
Well, he had an opportunity in coverage here. Aaron Colvin lost his damn job and he didn't do it. So, and, you know, D.D. Westbrook also was targeted more times than those other receivers in week one after Minshew came in relief of Foles. And still, 5 targets this week. Like, sorry, D.D., where's all of your, like, short yardage slot popping? D.J. Chark said that Gardner Minshew was fearless and his connection with Chark is up. Baby Chark, do-do-do-do-do. I'm all in.
I mean, D.D. Westbrook's not that good. So, yeah, I mean, you're on fire about these guys right now. And I love it. D.J. Chark, Chris Connolly, Liz Loza loves a good underdog. And these, you know, D.J. Chark was a second round pick, but like he was the guy that everybody,
fastest guy at the combine.
Everybody laughed at, too, because he couldn't actually play. Wrote him
and
off.
And Matt Waldman, one of your like dad figures, your uncle figures.
Twitter proximity associate.
Fine. just posted something on Twitter about DJ Chark's hand. So he is more than just a speed threat.
He is developing. He's growing.
And so are the Jacksonville Jaguars. And y'all are sleeping on him because you're bought into a narrative that is being bucked.
Being bucked, sure. I'm in.
I think that's it.
I think that's it. Yeah, I think we ran through the whole. Anything else? Like, what else is there to say?
We'll be back on Friday.
We've got the damn Atlanta Falcons on right now, and just their other rookie offensive lineman just got carted off with an injury. So
Matt is watching this over my shoulder. So my back is to the screen. So every once in a while, I just see him making faces, and I don't know what's happening.
I mean, yeah, I'm just watching some football, you know? That's my job. Watch football, have an opinion about it, right? That's the job description.
Amen. What a great job. You can follow us on Twitter at Yahoo Fantasy. I'm at @LizLoza_FF. That's @MattHarmon_BYB. We're out until Friday.